Blog Talk Radio.
Chicago, that's right, it's Friday, Praise Break Friday, January the 13th, Friday the 13th, 2000, you don't hit nothing? Oh, okay, Friday the 13th, 2017, and Take a Limit Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you all on today. Both ears, you good? Okay. All right, I can fix it in a minute. Yeah, we have an outstanding show for you guys on today. Today, man, Praise Break Friday. Watch this. 9 skills to move from singing songs to leading worship. 9 skills to move from singing songs to leading worship. It's going to be outstanding. I'm excited about it. And in the studio, as always, with me on Praise Break Friday. You good now? My brother in ministry, that is, the one and the only Pastor Cornelius Parks. What's up, sir?
Yes.
And I don't hear nothing.
Oh, well, this might help. That might help.
Here we go. How your people doing? I'm like, what's going on?
Get your people in the room, man.
I know, right? Look here, man. We have an outstanding show. It's going to be good. But let me give y'all the rundown real quick on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line and you've already dialed in, simply push 1. And you could be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. You can be a part of the show. If you're listening, if you're on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We would love to hear from you that way as well. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show @TTLO radio. Again, you can tweet the show @TTLO radio. We'd love to hear from you that way. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. The live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Do a search. Taking Limits Off, Dana Devon. You find us right there. Again, Taking Limits Off. You can find us there. Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. Real simple. Simply go to Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. And you will find us right there as well. And last but not least, iTunes. If you want to subscribe to our iTunes, our podcast, that is, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, simply go to your iTunes account, do a search for Taking the Limits Off, and you will find us there. My brother, what's going on, man?
Man, you got this thing, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's Friday.
Friday. Only thing about it, I didn't just get paid.
Me neither. I want to say it like this, man. It's Friday, and you ain't got no job.
I don't have no one.
You ain't got nothing to do.
Hey. Matter of fact, Chris Tucker's in town tonight.
Is he?
Fact,
oh, he yeah. is. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
he's in town today. That's good.
I just thought about that
when I was thinking when we said it was Friday.
Yeah.
Man, look, so much is going on.
So much.
I saw right before when I was getting ready to leave the house that the Department of Justice finally released the findings that they've from a year ago. They've been investigating the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah.
Because of all the violence and everything.
Yeah.
And the word that the Attorney General Loretta Lynch used. Well, she says they found probable, reliable information that the Chicago Police Department has been using excessive force.
Yeah,
a pattern of excessive force, and not only that, that it's more prominent in the black and brown neighborhood.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long press conference, almost about an hour long. I watched all of it, and she gave an overall synopsis, and the guy who followed up behind her. We'll see if I can find his name. But he was powerful. His
Caucasian guy.
Yeah.
With passion.
Yeah. He broke down the F. Like, he was like, you know, people are being tased for no reason.
Yeah.
People are being shot people are being shot while running with no weapons, no nothing. And again, this is
well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
As a whole, sadly, we shouldn't generalize, but you have no other choice.
Yeah.
Because you really don't know who have compromised and who have not compromised for what they have taken an oath for.
And one of the things the guy said, it's not all police officers.
Exactly.
And he said it's a small amount, but the problem is it's so systemic. It's so ingrained.
Yeah.
And one of the things that stuck out for me, they are using a training tape 35 years old.
Old.
And one of the things Loretta Lynch said in the training, some of the stuff they've been trained on is against laws that have been passed in the last 35 years. But this is what you're using to train brand new. So think about this. We have, like you said, we got mutual friends on, you know, more than one on the police department.
Yeah.
They ain't been on there 35 years.
My point.
So that means they've been trained with this bad information.
My point. I got some people that weren't even born.
They weren't. They were, or when it happened 35 years ago, they were kids.
Yeah, kids.
So it's really unfortunate that's where we are. I liked what they're planning to do. Unfortunately, there is one caveat that's there. Loretta Lynch is done after as soon as Trump gets in office.
Exactly.
So now there's an agreement in place, but it has not been ratified yet. And everything that they talked about doing is against everything that Trump spoke about when he ran for office.
Exactly.
Because he said, I want to take the reins off the police.
Yeah.
I don't want the police to be scared to do their jobs. I want the police to go out there and knock heads if that's what they got to do to get the job done, which is completely against what the reforms that we're trying to make.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part. That's one of the things that we have to look forward to in the transitioning from President Barack Obama to President-elect Trump is the fact that there are some things that's in play now that once Trump get in office, it'll be diminished. Some stuff, just like they're trying to tackle
Obamacare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I kind of figured that was going to be one of the main streams of things taking place because Trump really not for the lower class. He's not for the
he ain't for the middle class.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so we all know Obamacare was for those who not able to afford health insurance.
Absolutely.
And so now we're going to get back into the place that we were before. And when you look at the different county hospital, Providence, those who don't require medical mm-hmm. insurance, but
yeah.
now they still someone giving you a bill now.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're our back is more going to be against the wall. And, you know, I can't fault, and I'm saying this openly, I can't fault Trump for what the people had an option to do. And what I mean by that, the people had an option to vote. They had an option to put in office who they thought was best fit.
Yeah.
And that's who they selected. So now it's to the point. What he's doing now, even with his speech,
mm-hmm.
even with how he demoralized CNN reporter.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just getting a taste
mm-hmm.
of what's to come.
Yeah.
And sadly, they're using Trump because here it is. Let me show this. A lot of us have problems with reporters. We have problem with media because they feel like they all in our they in our grill. They do this and do that and
okay.
they lie.
Okay.
And so Trump is that one that is going to be out of order, going to try to set the record straight to whomever he get in contact
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some apparent reason, people love the silliness of a person who speaking against or trying to speak boldly, as they want to call it,
mm-hmm.
against
mm-hmm.
someone publicly.
Mm-hmm.
See, other presidents would not allow their character
yeah.
to get out of whack with that.
Yeah.
Well, said to say this, that's his character.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not out of character.
Right.
Now, if he started doing good stuff, he's out of character then.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part. Here is a man that what we call is ethical. He's very unethical.
True.
And then what we call unethical, that's when he's ethical.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's totally the backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
people, we got to really find a way to deal. And a lot of times I hear people say, I pray that he get impeached and all that. You know, sometimes your prayers is wrong
mm-hmm.
because you got to ask the Lord, give us guidance, give us strength, provide peace, show us your promises at this time. And that's what I'm asking God to do. I'm not saying just take him out right now, because take him out, we're still going to be in the chaos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, it's still
going
to be chaotic. So I'm asking the Lord, and even over our nation, last night I went into prayer at 10 o'clock, and I was just praying for the nation, cities, because I feel like we're being so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing for one individual life to be stressed, but just imagine a community stressed.
Yeah.
Just imagine
yeah.
a city, a state, a country stressed out. That means that you're going to do things that's not according to your own ability or power. You're just trying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes you more out of whack than where you were in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So my prayers is that we don't make no quick and swift moves that will hurt us more than what's to come. Because truth of the matter, and I want to say this, we got to stop thinking the negative when we look at Trump. We got to know that all things are going to work out together for the good.
Yeah,
and even
yeah.
though what he show us, we still serve a God that can change hearts and that can change minds.
That's good.
And I believe that we as a collective body, and that's why the Bible said we are peculiar people.
Yeah.
Because we still have hope. We still have hope, and regardless of the storm, regardless of what the suffering we're going to deal with, because that's part of life,
mm-hmm.
but we still got to have hope and
mm-hmm.
trust and believe. God knows what he's doing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And before our eyes, God can allow a fresh wind to take place and show us a different president-elect Trump. I'm serious.
That's true. That's
God,
true.
And I
that's,
believe
that's
if the
true.
People of God stop complaining and start bombarding heaven. And sometimes God allowed things to take place so we could come back close to him.
That's true. Now that's good. That's good. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. People say, and I heard this early on about, you know, this is what God wanted. No, this is what God allowed. And this is what God allows when people become disobedient.
Yeah.
When people are disconnected,
yeah.
he allows things and
yeah.
and certain entities to rule,
yeah.
to push us back to him, or watch this,
okay.
to give us an opportunity
yeah.
to get back to him. Because again, he ain't going to push us.
No,
he ain't going to push us.
He don't.
He's
thank
that
you.
Kind of God.
There you go,
right.
man.
He ain't going to push us back to him. But what he does is he puts us in a position to say, okay, let's reexamine ourselves.
Let's do it.
And let's see what's available for us right now. This is what we've been doing. What we've been doing got us Trump.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
What we've been doing got us Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's like, what can we now do differently?
Yeah.
What can we look back over, even if it's the last 8 years of Obama, the last 16 of Obama Bush, the last however many long time we had in between there, however you want to look at it, what have we been doing as a country that got us to Trump today? And now go back and examine and say, now, how do we avoid this again? What can we do better? Come on.
You know what? God is so great. Everything we asked for, he gave it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
We asked for an African-American president.
Yeah.
He gave everything that we pretty much asked him to do.
Yeah.
He gave it to us.
Yeah.
But we didn't have good steward over it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, here it is. We as a people, we as a body, and I don't want to put no damper on nobody, but you need to know this. Everything that the Lord, we asked God to do, he has given it to us. We either dropped the ball, we either stained it, we either compromised, and we done so many different things. And at the end of the day,
yeah,
I learned something with this term mm-hmm. with President Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It's never enough for certain people.
That's good. That's true. That's true. No, you're not, and too, the goal is not to please everybody.
True.
The goal is not to please everybody. Look, I see y'all coming on in the room. Let me speak to the people. I see y'all coming on in the room. God bless you. Pat Lewis, God bless you. Erica Matthews, bless you. Dana Miller, Loretta Lush, good morning. Sheila Whitaker, hello. Alex Fowles, what's going on? Big A, what's going on? Yolanda King, how are you? Marissa Williams, God bless you. Thank you so much. This is good. Yolanda says, repealing the ACA without a replacement is unconscionable. Yeah, so they're talking about... is we're pulling this the Obamacare, and but they're talking about replacing it, and I don't know if you guys know this, and again, some of you may not know this. For those of you who are on your insurances at your jobs or whatever it is, they're talking about repealing the current insurance and forcing everybody to go into these health savings plans. So where you put money aside, you pay into this health savings account,
mm-hmm.
and so when you go to the doctor, then the money is drawn directly out of this health savings account.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pros and cons to it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the corporate world and I had this type of stuff, I never participated in it because I didn't like the feeling of because here's the deal. You put this money
mm-hmm.
into this account, it's only good for the year.
And you know something?
It's only good for the year.
It's funny you said that because this December, I had someone to call me.
Yeah.
And said, do you have any medical bills?
Uh-huh.
Do you have any prescriptions that need to be filled? And I'm wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they got this money on their card.
Yep.
That won't roll over.
Yep.
That they need to use.
Yep. So you at the end of the year, I saw people. If you remember, if you go back on Facebook, I saw people saying, "Man, I need to go to this." I mean, you're going to buy, you know, a $50 worth of aspirin because
exactly.
you don't want to leave the $50 in there
exactly.
because it does not roll over.
It does not roll.
Yeah,
over.
Yeah. So a lot of this stuff is
right.
is crazy. But again, we don't want. That's a whole other show talking about that. So hopefully, we want to keep our city in prayer. Speaking of prayer. We have been participating in the 21 days of fasting and praying. It's 21 days of fasting and praying. We're partnering with Lifeline Church here in Chicago on this 21-day fast and pray. How's it been going for you, sir?
Man, listen, great. I cannot tell a lie, man. It's been going great.
It's been going good.
I am so motivated.
That's good.
I'm I told you guys, every time I think of sweets or I look at it, I look down at my stomach, and I look at all the sweetness. I got more sweetness here than any candy store they have collectively. And so, I am so motivated. I'm motivated on the spiritual component, number one.
Right.
Because I do feel a shift in my personal life.
Yeah.
And then also, I feel a shift taking place in those who are partaking in
this. Yeah, yeah.
I believe that we can bombard heaven on some things collectively.
That's correct.
And do it. And Pastor Reggie Royal is using this term mega.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's his thing for every Wednesday night, his prayer revival.
Yeah.
But he's using this thing called mega. And
mm-hmm.
honestly, I'm asking God for stuff that I never asked him for before.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I need some stuff like stuff that unbelievable.
Yeah. I was watching Wednesday. Our Bible study got canceled Wednesday, right around 5 6:36 o'clock, somewhere right around there. So our Bible study got canceled. And I was really tempted to go down to Lifeline, and I wish I had went
because
I watched it live on Facebook Live. And I just want to say it was absolutely amazing. John Hanna taught, my God.
That man
taught from air. And one of the things that stuck with me, this is what he was saying. He was talking about prayer. And he was like, now I need, he was talking about intercessors. He said, I dare somebody to pray to God. God, do me a favor. Bless somebody else.
Wow. Wow.
Do me a favor.
Wow.
Bless somebody else.
Wow.
So that's what intercessory is. God bless you, stepping or standing in the gap for somebody else. And that was just, I mean, it was, I sat there and watched this thing. I could barely eat my dinner.
Wow.
Sitting here trying to watch this thing. But his theme, I believe, is movement. But mega is the word that he's using. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
So we want to give you all the scripture for the day. This was the morning scripture that I sent out via our Facebook page earlier today. And then we're going to pray. I have a opening prayer, as we said we were going to do for every show, for fasting and praying. Today's scripture, the morning scripture, came from Luke 10:17-19, where it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you."
Wow.
My God. Pray for us, Doc.
Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for all that you are establishing in our life, God.
Yes.
Lord, there's many listeners that's on here, God, that's dealing with turmoil in their life. But God, today we pray for strength. We pray for peace, God.
Yeah.
And we pray for love, God. God, as we partake in this great fast, God, we ask and expecting things to happen immediately, God. We're not waiting for the fast to be over, God, but God, we want to see your glory during the process, God. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, even when we're weak, we ask that you provide strength in the name of Jesus, God. God, I even bless Pastor Reggie Royal Ministry,
right,
God,
now, right now,
for the vision that he have set out, God, that many that's across the country are partaking in it, God. This is one of the most exciting episodes in Christianity that you have many that's bombarding heaven together.
Yes.
So, Lord, we come to touch and agree, God. We come to trust you, God, and we come to let the world know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We honor you, God.
Yeah.
In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That's good stuff. So remember on Wednesday, you said you found was it Wednesday? They said that you took the cupcakes to your daughter's school.
Uh-huh.
You found some gummy worms or something in the car?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
yes, sir.
Because, you know, when you're fasting and when you're praying, temptation comes. And I want to clear something up, because I know people are talking about, well, you know, when you're fasting, you're supposed to tell nobody. This is a corporate fast. And the reason we tell people is not to feel sorry for us, but it's to get you to come and join in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on yesterday...
Lord have mercy.
Yesterday.
Talk about it.
Now, I didn't go nowhere yesterday. God bless you. Who is that? The good Cardinal Michael Henderson. Bless you, sir. God bless you. And Chia Kirkpatrick. Blessing from New York City. God bless you. Bless you. All right. Amen. Yesterday, I didn't go nowhere yesterday, right? I pretty much chilled until I went to the store later on last night. The doorbell rings.
Ding dong.
Hello. Yeah, can I help you? Because, you know, people don't ring my doorbell. Yeah. Connie's Pizza.
Oh, the devil. The devil.
I almost cussed y'all. I promise you I did.
The devil.
I said, the devil. What?
Oh, my God.
I said, you got the wrong number. No, you are. I said, man. Ain't nobody.
Oh, the devil.
First of all, I don't even eat Connie's Pizza.
Right.
But I would have tore it up.
But scraped that cheese off that man. The devil, man.
I said, look at the foolishness going on right here. I said, but it was for they had the wrong location. They was in the wrong building. I said, oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you this thing is so expensive, too, man. I'm going to tell the world. Hey, I'm not complaining, y'all, but when you fasting and
you need a GoFundMe page.
Oh, my God. Man, can y'all send me some gift cards?
Like, send you some.
I need some Red Lobster gift.
Send him the ingredients.
Ingredients or something,
y'all,
man.
Y'all can pack it in a box and
share it. Man, listen here. This thing is no joke.
Oh, God.
But I'm telling you, it's not getting rough for me. It normally it gets rough for me close to the end.
Uh-huh.
Right now I'm sustaining.
I think it's gonna be easy. I think it's going to be easier toward the end.
I pray.
Because normally it gets like, well, you know, it depends because it gets rough like the first day, the day after. I had the worst headache ever. That Monday night going into Tuesday morning or whatever it was, worst headache ever. And that was my body going through withdrawals from no sugar.
Now, what I'm struggling with,
uh-huh.
Doc, I'm struggling not having no coffee.
That coffee? Yeah. Doc,
I am listening.
So your body going through caffeine withdrawal.
Man, your boy, I done hit myself upside the head 10 times accidentally. Your boy is struggling. I mean, and then I was watching a commercial,
uh-huh.
and they had a Dunkin' Donut commercial and pouring that coffee in the cup.
Uh-huh.
And then here come McDonald's right behind it. Any size cup you want for a dollar. Then they got something else for $2. Your boy, I was sitting here like, man, listen here. Your boy is struggling on that part. I can't tell no tale. Juice is one. I'm fine with juice.
Yeah.
But coffee?
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. So, of course, I've been telling you, I've been drinking the green tea.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I had to stay in the house all day yesterday until it was time for me to leave.
I told you about this tea.
I was touching the green.
About this tea.
Man, listen, here. I'm talking about, have you ever just had something to shock your body? That green tea. It's the nastiest thing with no sugar, no sweetener.
I don't care if it's got sugar in it or not.
I was holding my nose drinking it. And so I had a couple of boiled eggs and apple. Yeah, that's what I ate.
Oh,
and, man, before you know it, my body just started shaking. Hey, I was like that person in church giving a shout. Hey, they just started off that one arm. Hey, I was just, man. I said, Lord, have mercy. And you know, I did tear my groin muscle.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh,
it's
torn.
Torn. Yeah.
Oh,
so
no.
I got to go through rehab. And if rehab don't work, I have to have surgery.
So they're going to try to do it without surgery first?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so.
Because it will heal itself. But.
It will, but it's going to take, they said 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can feel it. And so. It takes me a while to get out the chair.
Yeah.
So I was in my recliner, and, you know, I got the rocking one. And, you know, normally I just rock one time and get up because of the weight. This time I had to rock about 10 times. Oh, I missed it that time. Oh, I missed it again. So getting up, man, it was rough, man. So, man, pray for your boy. But the good thing, I lost 7 pounds.
Wow.
I know you really can't tell because there was a lot of sweetness there. But your boy have lost 7 pounds, for real.
That's good.
And I'm excited for this. I've been doing the water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a gallon or more. And so in my water, I put the apple cider vinegar and lemon juice.
Oh, Lord.
Nastiest combination in the world.
It sure is. Why are you drinking that?
It burns the fat.
Dude.
See, you don't got all this sweetness.
Don't.
I got sweetness. I got delicious. I got syrup. I got sugar. Man, you name it, I got it. It's all right here. All in my stomach. I put it all in my stomach. All of my burdens.
You know what? Y'all pray for this dude. Pray for the preacher, y'all. Pray for the pastor.
Man, I'm good, though, man. I'm excited. How you going with it, man?
You know what? It's been good. I got me some. Did I bring them in? I brought my. I got these little. I found these little Sargento. Healthy snacks.
Okay.
Let me see if I can show them to you. I thought I brought them in. Maybe I left them in the car.
Okay.
But I got these Sargento healthy snacks, man, and they are like wonderful for me. It's like it's a little snack pack thing. It's just got a little cheese and some almonds and some cranberries, dried cranberries or whatever.
That sounds like a plan.
It's just a little snack or whatever, just in between. You know,
that's how. See, I can.
But,
man,
I had a salad on. I had a salad for lunch on Wednesday. And then, man, had a Cobb salad without all the good stuff. They said, "Well, what is it, you Cobb salad?" I was like, "Yeah, but you need to keep the chicken."
Oh my!
Wait, God. And you need to keep the bacon. Like,
Man, because that's what make a car.
Man.
And then the dressing it.
Well, so the dressing was low. It was the low. It was the, they have a
locale.
They have a
sugar-free
avocado something.
Okay.
Light, no nothing, and ain't no sugar in it.
God.
Dressing and some kind of avocado vinaigrette something. But I'm like, I ate it. But man, I was like, and so you know at Panera Bread. So you know you're eating this stuff and it's like, first of all, you know you're in Panera Bread. All this bread is up in here. Right? So they say, well, what you want on the side? Do you want bread? It was an apple. And something else. The other, two of the options I couldn't eat.
You couldn't.
Just give me the apple. Knowing I didn't want it.
But now,
yeah, it's rough.
I don't have nobody to call me and say, pastor, friend, brother, cousin, do you want to stop? I mean, see, like, when you're eating right, nobody want to reach out and touch you.
But when you're eating wrong, everybody, I'm offer you a salad.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm telling you, I'm enjoying it. See, the reason why I'm maintaining because, and I say this is a permanent life change for me.
Yeah.
After the 21 days, I'm not going to lie. Yes, I am going back to coffee.
Yeah.
But there's some other stuff that I'm not going to go.
Yeah. It's the coffee. You can keep because I love what, Dale Coley says this. He was doing when he did the remake on Donald Lawrence's album, of When Sunday Comes.
Okay.
And Daryl Coley says this. He says, what you're going through now is a temporary inconvenience for a permanent improvement.
Improvement, yeah.
And that stays with me. Yeah. Every time I think about you going through something, it's temporary inconvenience for a permanent improvement. So you're going through this right now, and yes, it is inconvenient to have to go. It's inconvenient to have to spend this additional money.
But it's for a
good reason. And guess what? It's also inconvenient. We're not just talking about the food side.
Lord have mercy.
It's inconvenient to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning going to prayer. But it's to enhance your prayer life. It's inconvenient to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and read scripture. But it's to enhance your prayer life.
Yeah.
It's to enhance your connection and your time with God. So that now you're stronger. Here's the deal. The reason why we go through so much stuff is because of our connection to God is not as tight as it should be. But let's take it to a human connection.
Mm.
If you and me are real tight, and something is wrong, I can call you instantly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can say, man, look, I need some help. I got this situation, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But if we ain't tight, we know each other, but we ain't tight.
Uh-huh.
You ain't gonna be the first person I call.
That's right. Wow.
So I'm gonna sit back and spend a whole lot of time trying to work this thing out by myself.
I see you.
You see what I'm saying? But when you got a relationship,
yeah.
So now because I've called on you and I've spent some time with you, I broke bread with you, we've gone through some stuff together. You've seen me at my worst and everything else. Now that I'm going through something, I don't sit back and wonder, well, I wonder should I pray? Because see, this is how the enemy distracts us. Satan says, you ain't got no relationship with God. You only call him when you need something.
Wow.
But if I'm talking to him all the time, come on somebody. If I'm communing with him all the time, if there's a constant relationship there, when I get ready to go through a 21 day fast, it ain't gonna kill me because I'm already in communication with God. But when I've been out of communication for a long time, when I've been disconnected from the source.
Yeah.
Come on now. When I've been disconnected from the source for an extended amount of time, then my resources eventually gonna run out.
It's gonna run out.
So I need to stay connected to the source.
And you know, I love you on point, and you might want to be kind of hot today because I like that. You know, one of the things I tell people this is don't use God as the last resort.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
right.
We do it. You know, one of the things that is my pet peeve is when people say, well, I guess I go to God in prayer. That's my only thing left to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that should have been the number one thing to do.
Yeah.
The scripture said, thou shalt have no other God before. God is jealous, number one.
Yeah.
God, and when there's a problem and predicament that you got to control others, that means you can't handle it on your own.
Come on.
So, and that's suggesting that you need to take it to somebody who can solve it immediately.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just want somebody to ride with us in our pity.
Nah.
We don't look for a conflict resolution.
Yes, sir.
We just want somebody to side with us and make us feel, oh, keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, with God, it's a different thing. God saying, listen, wipe them tears. Don't talk to me until you stop crying. Listen, because I want to see what you're going to do after them tears dry up.
Yeah.
Normally, when you're hurting, you shouldn't want to go to the same pain that caused you when you come out of deliverance.
Come on.
Listen, tears is one. It symbolizes of something that we shouldn't want to partake in.
Come on,
come on. Those tears of sorrow.
Come on.
And so when we're tearing, yes, we're watering things. However, it's still a learning experience to get ourselves out of ourselves.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If y'all ain't hit the share button on this, y'all should have hit it a long time ago.
I know that's right. I know that's right.
You said something, and you said about us using God as a last resort.
Yes.
I wish we would treat God like our checking account, not like our savings.
Woo! Lord, have mercy.
Because that checking account, you go to it immediately.
Immediately.
Because you go to it immediately.
Yeah.
That savings account you put up, that's for a rainy day. See, I need God to be in my account all day.
Come on, somebody.
I need to check that. You know, some of y'all watch this. I'm going to roll on somebody's street. Some of y'all check y'all account 2, 3, 4 times a day. Y'all looking on it. Y'all got Bank of America. Y'all got Chase, and y'all pull up that app every other. Wait a minute. Do I got this? Every time you go to that account, you need to be going to God.
That's right.
If you went to God as much as you went to use that, if you use your Bible,
that's right.
As much as you use your debit card,
that's right. That's right.
Come
that's
on
right.
now. If you use your Bible every time you swipe, come on. If you went to the store and every time you swipe the card, how about we pray before we get to the store?
That's right.
Because God might direct you from not spending something you ain't got no business spending.
Or he's
able to stretch.
Come on.
What you don't have.
Come on.
In that account.
Come on.
Without an overdraft fee.
Come on. Come on.
I don't know about y'all, but there were some times that I didn't have.
Come on.
That he allowed my stretched.
My.
And I didn't receive an overdraft fee.
Oh,
now y'all catch that one on the ride home. Sometimes you got to really consult the Lord.
Yeah.
And don't just consult him when you're going through.
No.
But consult him when you still got in that account. Watch him act a fool. See, most people don't understand this. I done seen this at people be in line waiting to pay for their groceries, and somebody behind them will take care for them.
Yeah.
You never know how God is going to be a blessing to you.
And see, that's where we all should want to strive to be.
Yeah.
Lord, bless me so I can bless somebody else.
Somebody else.
Don't bless me just for me.
Yes, sir.
Bless me so I can help somebody else. What a blessing it would be. I watched that video one time and I couldn't watch it because I teared up watching it. I think you saw it. It was on Facebook where that guy is at the grocery line and he just standing in the back.
Oh, yes, sir.
And every time somebody come up, he step up there and swipe.
Right.
And the one that got me was the guy.
Yeah.
The guys was like, man, he said, I can't believe you doing this for me.
For me.
And then he goes into his story and to be a blessing for somebody else. And I understand we all have needs and wants and desires and all of that. And I'm not knocking anybody for that because we all have them and you should.
Yeah.
But if your desire could be to be blessed so that you could then be a blessing to somebody else. Don't ask the Lord to make you rich so you can be rich. Ask the Lord to make you rich so you can then make somebody else rich.
Wow.
Ask the Lord to bless you with something. Don't ask the Lord to bless you with a 6-bedroom house and ain't number 2 or 3 of y'all.
Wow.
Ask the Lord to bless you for the house you need and then so you can be a blessing to house somebody else or to start housing for someone else. I understand we are the way society is. We become so inwardly focused and we're very materialistic. And don't get me wrong, we like nice stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but it's an amazing thing. It's like the thing you did at your church for Christmas.
Uh huh.
You were a blessing for somebody else. You didn't get no money
out
of that situation, but you said, "Lord, use me."
Yeah. Can I come in with that? And you see, my brother, I feel God's glory in this thing today.
Yeah.
Now, my brother just mentioned about what we did for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this now. I left the barbershop and I went to a restaurant to sit down because I got to go to 13.9 and do the road today for next week. So I was compiling my five thoughts together. And so I received a text message. Watch this, y'all. From one of my donors saying that, listen, Pastor, we forgot that there's a place in Buffalo Grove that we didn't pick up Christmas toys, Christmas gifts from.
Wow.
Now, Christmas is long way over. That's 2016.
Yeah.
And we're in 2017.
Yeah.
The Lord is still allowing me to receive residue.
Overflow. Yeah.
Overflow.
As a remnant.
Overflow of blessings because we have the heart and the mind to do the right thing.
Yes.
If you're not good steward of what it is that God has number one, listen here, trusted you with.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and it adds no sorrow. Here, we way out of Christmas, but guess what? I bet you there's still some kids did not receive,
that's
still in need,
that
we're able to bless them.
That's right.
And so I'm just excited because God is doing a great thing. Mm-hmm. And guess what? This is during the fast.
That's right. During the fast.
This is during the fast.
During the fast.
God is showing out during the fast.
Empty yourself so he can then pour in.
Ooh.
That's all we're doing.
Fill me up.
Part of this fasting is emptying yourself so that you can then become. Watch this. When you're empty, there's room.
There's room.
See, but God can't fill you up when you're full of.
Lord have mercy.
Come on,
Lord,
man. He can't pour into you when everything else is already in you.
What's in your tank?
In
your tank? Sometimes you got to tilt over to let some stuff pour out purposely.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't want it to come out.
Yeah.
Some things that's in us, we're not ready for it to come out.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just got to lean and rock with it.
Yeah.
So it can, it would come out purposely.
Yeah.
That you don't even have to touch it no more. And I ask the Lord every day, Lord, take something out of me that has been a hindrance, have been a barrier that's keeping me from doing your permissive will.
My.
And I'm going to tell you this, I'm not perfect. I'm not the holiest person in the world, but I'm tired of still going through some of the same matters that I went through 20 years ago.
And the only reason we go through those is because the lesson has not been learned.
My point exactly.
The only reason
My
you're still going
exactly.
through the same situations that you're going through is because the lessons have not been learned.
Lord have mercy.
It's so interesting. We are in this where we're like a hamster.
Lord have mercy.
On a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And you're constantly running and you're going nowhere. You're using all your energy to get nowhere fast. So what God is saying is I'm going to allow you to stay in this thing until you see what we all see. God sees your future.
Yes, sir.
He sees what's on the horizon for you.
Yeah.
The problem is we get so caught up in doubt. So caught up in delusional because of not only what we see, but what we allow other folk to put on us. We can't see what God has for us.
That's right.
And watch this. People around you can see it.
Wow.
When people around you can see what God has for you,
it's
so disheartening because they see they see the potential in you.
Yeah.
They see the greatness in you, and God sees this thing, but you don't move because you don't see it. Because you've been through failure, you've been through bad marriages, bad relationships, bad jobs, bad finance.
Wow.
You've had all these horrible things happen in your life. And so now you think where you are right now is as good as it gets.
Wow.
Let me help somebody. The devil is a lie.
Take the limits off of him.
The devil is a lie. God doesn't put ceilings on us.
Man, take the limits off
of him. Come on now. God don't put ceilings on
Lord
us. God
have mercy.
Don't restrict us. God does not put us in these little bitty boxes. The God we serve is the same one that created the universe. And the earth. That don't go in no box.
Yes,
God didn't save and redeem us. He didn't come down in 42 generations to come down here and have us lead mediocre lives. That ain't the God we serve.
Yeah.
The God we serve is a big old God.
Yeah.
He's a powerful God. He's an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God.
He's
the kind of God that he don't just sit up there and allow stuff to happen. He makes things happen. He's a provider. He's a sustainer. He's a deliverer. We got to stop treating our relationships with God like it's relationships with people.
Yeah.
People will let you down. God will not do it.
Listen, let me say this. The Lord, he's telling you no now so you can grow, so you can be taking things slow,
mm-hmm.
so you can grow.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't take things slow, it's impossible for you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens, we want acceleration to take place in our life to the place that if we get to the top and if we fall, we all go back to the bottom and not the next level.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to take each level at a time that we can learn. When David was elevated,
yeah.
each time David was elevated,
come on.
He was anointed.
Come on.
Because he completed the task.
Come on.
And then the Lord knew that he had a greater task ahead.
Uh-huh.
You know, new level, new devil. Y'all know the cliche. David was going, everything that David went through, he was a misfit in number one.
Yeah, yeah.
He was rejected. Yeah. He wasn't even the one considered by people.
By his own family.
By his own family to be king. But here it is. God sees more
mm-hmm.
in us. God don't give an x-ray. He give an MRI. He sees something in you more spiritually. Because when you look at an x-ray,
uh-huh.
certain things an x-ray can't see that an MRI can't.
Come on.
God sees behind every sin that we have committed.
Come on now.
God sees behind every heart that we have that's not pure and righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, some of our heart are deceitful. That's what Jeremiah said.
Yeah.
The heart is deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
But God is so wise that he can look beyond our deceitfulness.
Yeah.
Just like he did his disciple, Judas.
Yeah.
He even when the Sanhedrin council came to capture him,
mm-hmm.
he said, friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He still called Judas
a friend. Still called him friend.
Even though he was against him, he still called him friend. My people of God, he is the wrong one to run away from.
Yeah.
He is the wrong one to shortchange.
My God.
He is the wrong one not to give your time to.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us give our time to things, people, and even places that does not matter in our life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to learn to take time out in our daily exercise and day to give God his time. Because guess what? He's tired of you yawning for his love,
mm-hmm.
but you keep he's yawning for your love, but you keep walking in and out of his life. I'm like the Commodores today. The Lord is yawning for your love, but you can't keep walking in and out of his life. He wants to sup with you.
That's good.
He wants to make love to you.
That's good.
He wants to care for you.
That's good.
I'm talking about I didn't know the feeling until he came in and rocked me in the midnight hour.
Come on.
And told me that I was his own. I didn't know the feeling until my back was against the wall when everybody else turned on me, but it was nobody but God gave me some space. I really didn't know how it felt
uh-huh.
for someone to love me unconditionally
yeah.
when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I really, y'all making me do something in here. I really didn't know that a man could love me so dearly
uh-huh.
with unconditions. Amen.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do nothing for him to love me. Lord have mercy. I didn't have to do nothing for him to love me. But yet, in spite of all I do, he still loves me.
Yeah.
Why can't I spend time with him?
Yeah.
Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
I'm telling y'all, people of God, this is the season and time in our life that you got to grasp onto the Lord
mm-hmm.
more than you ever had. Get to know him.
Yeah.
Get to know him. I hear a lot of people saying this. I'm learning to love myself all over again.
Mm.
I'm learning to get to know myself all
yeah.
over again.
Yes, sir.
I'm learning to do things that I like doing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, take time out to do things that God like doing.
Yeah.
Take time out to please him and watch him do some things in your life. You won't experience loneliness. You won't experience all the depression.
Mm-hmm.
You won't experience the thought of committing suicide. You won't experience no matter how many people left you.
Mm-hmm.
You still know that you got a nice company keeper. Man, listen here. Give it to him. Give your heart to the Lord.
My. Woo, Lord, look, Lord. Y'all. We're going to take a break, man. We're going to come back. We're going to get into this article. We don't want to cheat this article. My God, this has been good. We hope y'all are getting some out of this. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. We love y'all, man. This is so good. Look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. 9 skills to move from singing songs to leading worship.
We go to about y'all. 3 people say he is wonderful.
Let's go. Come on, y'all. He is wonderful.
your duty loyal people. But somebody say, wonderful. You got to prophesy to yourself. Say, he's wonderful. Wonderful.
Boy, 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 how y'all ever just
praise
the
chair? Yes,
sir.
My.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, we're going to get it back.
You know what? My will is.
My. Ain't nothing like a sweet Holy Spirit praise.
Ain't nothing like it.
You seen Bishop Trotter's now doing Facebook Live and everything now all the
Is
time.
He?
Yeah, he doing.
Man, everybody doing.
He doing his prayers in the morning. He doing a prayer in the morning. Then he got an afternoon prayer and teaching at his church. I was like, wow. I was like, okay, all
That's
right.
Good.
Oh, Bishop.
Guys, don't get lazy though.
Bishop Larry.
Donnell Trotter.
D. Trotter. Yeah, Donnell.
Donnell.
That's it.
Donnell.
Yeah, Donnell. That's old school.
Donnell. Donnell.
Look, y'all, we got this really, really good article, man. I'm excited about it, right? I really am. This is going to be good. It is Praise Break Friday. This is today's article, 9 skills to move from singing songs to leading worship. This is going to be really good. It's on churchleaders.com. It's really good. This is what the article says. It says, worship leaders, he says, we've gotten really good at leading songs. He says, but for us to see breakthrough we want to see, for us to see the breakthrough we want to see, we need to grow as leaders. Why? Because we're leading a post-Christian people. He says, there are people in our churches who have never been to church. They don't know the gospel, and they don't know what to do in worship. He says, your leadership skills on Sunday will help those who are new Christians to engage in worship. Having a great band and getting through songs isn't enough. Leadership is not musical ability, and musical ability is not leadership. Leadership goes deeper. It set foot in uncomfortable places. It goes where most are not willing to go. A leader is a catalyst for change.
Wow.
Then he says this. He says, 9 leadership skills for worship leaders. Here are some ways a worship leader can increase their leadership and be a catalyst for change.
Here we go. Helping people relax. That's good. A good worship leader helps people feel comfortable. Vulnerability is cultivated in a safe environment, and corporate singing and worship falls into that category.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most distasteful things as a Christian, and I'm not even saying a pastor or minister, but as a layman, to go to a church that I feel harassed during worship.
Wow.
Like, wow. I can't experience the essence of God's glory because the worship leader is harassing me.
You feel harassed during worship. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
You know, there's things that worship leader must do. Number one, you are an usher.
Uh-huh.
Your job is to usher in the Spirit of God. We're going to bring them with us, but you got to usher us and take us to a place, not forcing us.
Right, right.
And one thing that I believe and I know, worship leaders tend to try to focus more on their vocal ability than they do their anointing.
Some do. Uh-huh.
And when you focus on your anointing, that means, I mean, I know some people that can't sing at all.
Yeah.
But when they get up, they're so anointed
because
they come from a sincere, pure place.
I think you said something about ushering.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. When you walk into a place and you're greeted by someone with a smile on their face, it makes you feel comfortable
and it
opens you up to come down. And watch this. You will follow that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
The same thing works. We can't usher the Spirit of God into the room. Our job as worshipers, and singers and exhorters and exalters of the word is to usher the people of God to where his to usher us or them into the spirit realm. So watch this. You can't do that by forcing them. You can't do that by screaming at them. You have to watch this. You have to make them feel comfortable enough.
Wow.
You have to make them relax enough. So that means you don't hit them with all your runs and all this other stuff that you do. You welcome them in, and maybe the person singing ain't the person doing the exhorting.
Wow.
Maybe there's two separate jobs, because watch this. Everybody that sing can't exhort.
That's true. And it's so amazing you said that.
Yeah.
Because I tell now, being a worship leader itself is a gift.
Yes.
And it's a gift and skill.
Yes.
That most people don't possess.
Yes.
Here, they don't possess it because they don't take the time to learn it.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You know, I see more people practicing singing, notes and all that, but they don't practice being in a certain atmosphere.
Okay.
Our job as worship leaders, watch this, is not to change the atmosphere, but is to get us from an atmosphere to change us to a culture that we've never been.
Yeah.
And if we can't change from an atmosphere to a culture, then I believe that your job is not being fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
because you're caught up in your personal gift on how you sound and not the people. In your singing,
mm-hmm.
that in your singing, some people can be delivered, some people can be set free and healed through your worship. I'm
mm-hmm.
serious.
Mm-hmm.
I often said this, when you see people standing here, And we call it surrendering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We call it submission. I call it, it's just like the man sitting down at the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
When the plane about to take off
mm-hmm.
or come in,
mm-hmm.
you see a man with these orange lights.
Directions.
Giving directions.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe when we're standing in worship, we're
mm-hmm.
lifting our hands, directing the Lord to, it's I.
Yeah.
Come see about me.
Yeah.
I need... Everybody don't know what you need,
mm-hmm.
but God knows what you need, and that's your time to give it all to Him.
Yeah, yeah. There is, and it comes from teaching.
Teaching.
When you don't teach your people about worship, it's not, and you can't really teach them on Sunday.
That's right.
That's why you have to have lessons and classes on it. But I remember going through a worship class years ago. And the guy was teaching the class. He was talking about the lifting of hands,
uh-huh.
and he used the term of when the police pull you over and the police say put your hands up, palms forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sign of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
That when your hands are up mm-hmm. and your palms are forward, it's a sign of surrender. It's saying, hey, look, I don't have nothing left. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I'm done. When your hands are up and they're lifted in this way, it's an availability. Watch this. When your palms are facing you, it's a sign of receiving and giving.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm lifting my hands up to give you what I have, and I'm also lifting my hands up not only to release but to then receive.
Wow.
So see that. So we. But again, when you don't teach worship, and it's something that needs. I don't care how long you've been in church. You can be in church 40 years. If nobody's ever taught you worship, you're just going through the motions.
Just going through the motions.
You're simply just going through the motions. Let's keep it going. Number two, we're talking about 9 skills for worship leaders. Number two says, challenging people to go deeper. A pastoral worship leader isn't content with just going through a set. The goal isn't to sing a few great songs. They have a passion for the people of God to go deeper, to sing louder, to take steps of faith, to move closer to Jesus. It's always easy to hide behind the songs. It takes guts to step out.
Wow.
There's a certain amount of vulnerability
mm-hmm.
that worship leaders have to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
There's a certain amount, because watch this, you have to be vulnerable enough to open yourself up so that people could then see the flaw mm-hmm. and the redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. So they can see, man, he or she struggling with that. Listen to the pain
uh-huh.
in his voice
uh-huh.
or the pain in her voice. But then I see the joy that comes behind
That's
it.
Good.
You have to be willing enough to, or as the writer says, have guts enough to step out and show people your growth and your process and how you're not perfect in it.
Wow.
Absolutely. You have to.
And that's true. That's true. I like this because I was a pastoral worship. I was worship pastor.
Yes, you were.
Pastor worship. And one of the challenges
mm-hmm.
that we had was we wanted not just the worship team,
mm-hmm.
not the worship leader, but the people of God
yeah.
tap in.
Yeah.
We want them to engage.
Yeah.
We want to get them to the place that they go deeper.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'm not a big fan of changing songs every Sunday.
Okay.
You can sing the same songs.
Yeah.
And it still have a good reflection and it was still will allow the presence to rule.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be in the next one because I believe you want corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
You want everyone, if you're not gifted to have the screens in your church.
Right.
Or the hymn books and all, some people don't sing because they don't know the word.
Right.
And so they can't tap in. They can't tap into what's taking place. They want to partake in, but
right.
they really don't. And then I remember Pastor Hannah said this. We was in a meeting with him, and I remember he said this. He said, I got my church to be a worshiping church
mm-hmm.
because I was the worshiper first.
That's it.
And he was laying at the altar.
That's it.
He don't have to do it all now, but he still do.
That's it.
But he conditioned them to worship.
That's right.
Not only was he teaching them, but he was showing them.
He said this on Wednesday when people were in the midst of the worship. He said, if your neighbor go in with him. He said, don't sit there. Go with them. He said, if the person next to you, if you see them going in, reach out and grab them and follow them on in.
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand what's about that, just go with them. Don't sit back and watch this and cut yourself off.
Yeah. Yeah.
From a what? Because you could be cutting off a blessing.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people all the time, if your life depended, if your neighbor's life depended on your praise, how many would still be living? If your neighbor's life depended on your praise and worship, how many would still be living? Let's go. Number three.
Being prophetic.
Yeah.
The best worship pastors are prayerful. Let me say that again. The best worship pastors are prayerful.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in prayer about Sunday set, but about the people. I touched on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They pursue the voice of God for their church. They want to know what God is saying.
Yeah.
He said something key, and I want everyone to catch what he said. Their church.
Yeah.
Just because other churches are doing certain songs, it may not fit your atmosphere.
That's right.
Of your church.
That's right.
You got to do what's fitting for your church.
Yes.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make sure that whatever the Lord have called you to do
mm-hmm.
is for your house.
Yes.
It might not be for no one else's house.
Everything don't work in your house. It's great as look great
exactly.
as it looks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want to say this as a worship leader. I think that this is one element of church that's not being taught.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. Because people are unqualified to teach it.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I got to agree with you.
Yeah. And it's you know, one of our listeners or watchers rather on Facebook Live posted this a few minutes ago. They said having it says needing experience with God on a personal level and worship is what we were made for. Bless you, Jennifer L. Webb. I think you're a first time watcher. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Hit the share button if you haven't done so already. We really would appreciate it. God bless you. But being a worshiper, Zachary Lavender, who did the cantata, everything for Christmas at Lifeline down at First Baptist,
okay.
told me this years ago. Worship is a lifestyle.
It is.
It's not it just is. What you do on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle. Because, see, a true worshiper, watch this. A true worshiper can go in anywhere.
Yeah.
You're Come right. on, somebody. Don't miss it. A true worshiper will shout in the grocery store just
right.
because something comes across their memory,
right.
not because something was on sale.
You're right.
Just because something crossed their memory and they say, you know what? I got to give God 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
A true worshiper will go in anywhere. They don't care where they are. They don't care who's looking at them. They don't care they don't care if the music is good, bad, and different. They just gonna worship.
That's true.
They just gonna worship. And true worshipers seek after God.
They seek after. There you go.
They seek after him.
And they don't stop until they feel it.
But God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh my God, Brittany Park. I think you're a first time watching and listening too. Says I want more of God. I want to seek him. Faith Hager says I do it all the time. There is something about praising God, and it's one of those things where you have to take praise personal.
You really do.
You have to take it personal.
It's personal.
And that's for me. I try to explain this to people all the time. My facial expressions ain't about you. I take Sunday morning worship personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take that time. Look, that's 2 hours of time that's been set aside for corporate worship. I take it personal. And I believe in those 2 hours, you ought to give God your absolute best.
Yeah.
Not what you got left over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not what's left.
Yeah.
And truth be told, Sunday is the beginning of the week.
It is.
So it's the beginning of the week. Is. You ought to have your best.
That's good, man.
You ought to have your best.
That's good.
Come on now. Oh, my God.
It's amazing. I love that. Now, understand this. I want to put clarity on something.
Come on. Come on.
Because it's that being prophetic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worship leaders, it's not your job to try to speak a word over somebody's life while you are being a worship leader.
Mm.
When we look at the term being prophetic, mm-hmm. that's being prophetic as in praying to God
yeah.
that he give you song of ministry
yeah.
to set for that atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It don't mean that you got to take time out mm-hmm. to quote every scripture mm-hmm. in the Bible. I believe we talked about this before on how worship leaders come back and try to preach mm-hmm. what the pastor already preached. No, that's not your job. Your job is to usher in songs. Yeah. You don't have to come with all these cliches.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come with all these scriptures. Some people just want you to sing and sit down.
Sometimes the prophecy is in your singing.
There you go.
But watch this. The prophecy could be in the words, but because you're not connected to God, no one ever receives it.
Oh, man.
So that's why you have to make sure that that's why the worship leader is, you can't be a worship leader and have no connection to God.
Yeah.
How you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. You stand up there. You like a dead battery in a flashlight.
Man,
just taking up space. Number four says this. Again, we're talking about 9 leadership skills for worship leaders, leading from singing to leading. This is what he says, spotlighting the gospel. He says, attention. It's an important word when it comes to worship because essentially you are calling a room full of people to rapt attention. But what are they focusing on? Your team and your talent? Are you crafting your set in order to magnify the coolness of your art? Or are you crafting an experience that magnifies Jesus and spotlights the gospel? Because in my mind, that's the only choice.
Wow.
Are you spotlighting God? Is the spotlight on you or is it on your gift?
Wow.
See that's the real question. When you stand up before God's people, are they seeing your amazing gospel or vocabulary? Are they seeing your gospel
wow.
skills? Are they seeing all this, or do they see God?
Wow.
Because see that's the job. That's the job of every preacher. That's the
yeah.
job of every musician.
Yeah.
That's the job of not to see me,
yeah.
but to see God through me. To see God, what I want you to see is to see God use me. I don't want you to see me preach and be like, oh, he's preaching a powerful word. Yeah, it's because God is using me. And I just want you to see him use me. Go ahead.
I often tell people as a worship leader, if persons want to see a true style of worship
mm-hmm.
from worship leaders, I send them to Jesus Culture.
Yeah.
Or Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Those both are Caucasian ministries, but
mm-hmm.
their worship leaders will show you an authentic
mm-hmm.
Style of worship.
Okay.
Pure, genuine.
Okay.
It is no show. Even though they have a fabulous band and they're on the stage, but you see the worship leader, she's hiding herself.
Yeah.
And she's lost in the spirit of God.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And
that's good.
Nobody.
That's good. You know,
she don't care how many people around.
That's good.
When you see her on the stage.
Yeah.
I promise you, you see her in God. I promise you. You see the Lord's spirit all on her. And I think we need to get to that place. One of the downfalls as African American
mm-hmm.
is that we have so much entertainment in us. We think we got to dress up. We think we got to make up. We think we got to weave it up. We got to do all this to come on a stage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at these Caucasian groups, they come in with a pair of gym shoes on, jeans, and a shirt.
Come on.
But then when you hear when you see them going forth, you see the spirit of God dwelling like never before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think we need to teach people to get out of ourselves, to get to the place of trusting
the Lord when we up on stage, because I believe a lot of times we fail because we, like Peter, we took our eye off the Lord, the eye off Jesus.
That's it.
When Peter got out of the boat to walk on water, he was successful until he took his eye off the prize.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we take our eye off the prize, and we become the focal point. And that's why people get disturbed.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Again, we're talking about, this is really good. I hope y'all are getting some out of this. We're talking again about nine skills to move from singing songs to leading worship. Right now, we're going to get number five.
Prepping for spontaneity. Depending on your tradition, spontaneous can mean a lot of things. Allow me to broaden the category. Think of spontaneous as relaxed. You can't be spontaneous if you don't know what you're doing. Feeling the moment can only happen when the bases are intuitive. You can't be spontaneous as a quarterback if you don't know how to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
By building up the intuitive sense on your instrument with singing, with flow, you build up the necessary tools to lead well in the moment if you feel a deviation from the plan is necessary.
Mm.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
This whole thing is talking about shifting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to shift.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they put the quarterback in this, because a quarterback that's not good cannot be spontaneous.
Yeah.
He can't afford to make error.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the Packers game last week, I seen Aaron Rodgers through a Hail Mary.
Come on now.
On a spontaneous move.
Come on, come on.
But it succeeded
because
he's a great quarterback.
Yeah.
And he's tried this over and over.
Yeah.
Many times he failed.
Yeah.
Sometimes he succeed.
Yeah.
Here it is. You got to prepare yourself for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
A lot of people that worship lead, I guarantee they never have a B plan.
Mm.
If something go wrong, it messed up their whole show.
Yeah.
Point in case, Mariah Carey.
There you go. Come on.
As long as she's been entertaining.
Come on, you would think.
As long as she's been on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
When there's a basic malfunction, she didn't know how to respond. Then they show somebody, I forgot the singer that was doing house music downtown, that had the same malfunction.
Yeah, it was Stephanie Mills.
Stephanie Mills.
Yeah, I put that video up.
There you go.
Yeah, Stephanie Mills.
Had the same malfunction,
but
knew how to recover.
Never stop.
Never stop.
Never stop. Because you have a plan in place, and watch this. When you have rehearsed it, I'll use your football analogy. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers doesn't just throw Hail Marys. He practices
them.
So if and when the time presents itself, I know I already got this in my tool bag. It's in my repertoire. I know what I have available. But again, when there is no connection, you don't know what you have available. This is good. Angela Johns, God bless you, Angela. She says, what does she say here? My experience as a worship leader as well, you bring to the building what really is taking place in your home. Ah, God's calling us back to relationship with him. Stop worshiping apostles and prophets. Then she says, not a good example, Mariah. She ain't worshiper. What? See, Angela, you ain't listening to what was said. We wasn't using Mariah as an example of a worshiper. We were using Mariah as someone who was not prepared and able to shift. When the Holy Ghost shifts,
see the term intuitive simply means.
Come on now, Angela, you know better.
Like foundation.
Come on.
And a lot of people can't bounce back because they have no foundation.
Ah, that's good. That's good.
And so when you don't have a foundation,
that's good.
It's like you're out here careless.
That's And you're a one trick pony.
There you go. So what they call it in the world is you're a one hit wonder.
Yeah, that's it too.
So a lot of times, a lot of people get that one opportunity and don't get it again because there was no foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people it might take them 30 times to get known.
Mm-hmm.
It that doesn't mean the 29 was unsuccessful.
Yeah,
but it took them 30 times to get to a place they give them. Take them to a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Most of us, because our preparation is off.
Yeah,
I guarantee a lot of our preparations is off.
Mm-hmm.
How we prepare for sermons, I believe worship leaders need to prepare for songs.
Oh my God!
Because they you can't just get ready, Sunday morning,
no.
knowing that you're getting run up Sunday morning. It reflects.
Yes.
You reach nobody. And then also, when you came back to piggyback on your statement that worship is a lifestyle,
uh-huh.
if you didn't spend time worshiping God
Come on.
The whole week,
Come on.
Don't expect His glory to fall on you on that 30 minutes.
Yeah, don't expect no fresh anointing.
There you go.
Come on.
There you go. And so here we use Mariah because Mariah should have known better
mm-hmm.
because this is her craft.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people don't take their craft serious.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like I was reading in newspaper today how now they're making barbers do domestic violence.
Oh, yeah, the hairstylists. Yeah.
Hairstylists.
Yeah.
Now, they're crying because it's not in their craft.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, they got more people coming to them.
The hairstylists and barbers have been counselors for years.
There you go.
Like bartenders.
There you go. There you go. So just because it's not in your criteria for what you went to school for,
yeah.
don't mean that you can't be open.
That's right. Absolutely.
To doing something
Absolutely.
New. See?
Because there more counseling goes on.
Yes.
In hair salons and barbershops than psychiatrists.
And then, can I be honest?
Come on.
It just hit me.
Come on.
We don't know behind the closed doors how many barbers or beauticians got sued. For giving bad advice.
That's that too. That too.
For them to make a law with that, something had to take place.
That too. Let's keep it going, y'all. Again, we're talking about 9 leadership skills from singing to leading. Number 6 says, leading in between songs. Watch this. This is what the writer says. What you do in between songs can make all the difference between your worship set feeling plastic or real.
Wow.
Get comfortable with transitions. Don't just stop and restart. Can
go.
I help somebody?
Flow.
What that means is there needs to be a flow. Now, this is where pastors, worship leaders, and music directors all need to be on one accord.
Yeah.
Because a music director need to know when that pastor is ready. A music director or an organist or piano player, musicians, they need to be able to follow the flow of the room. If the person's singing, if guess what? I know we had these 2 songs we were supposed to sing, but my spirit is taking me in a different direction.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is because watch this. If the spirit says shift, you got to shift.
Wow.
Because if you don't, you're going to miss something and you're going to hinder the movement of God. And I know I got some overly Christian folks. Well, you can't hinder the movement of God. Yes, you can. You can hinder the movement in the room. And by you not obeying the spirit of God
wow.
to say shift, because you may be wanting to sing Alpha and Omega, and the spirit of God may be your next set on the song, and the spirit of God might say, well, there's some people in the room that just need you to go old school and say, can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Wow.
And you need to be able to do that, and musicians need to be able to shift, just like when the pastor is preaching. Don't rush him don't rush him off the stage. It may just be something. He might just need you for a moment.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God might just need you to come in and help emphasize this one point and then calm down.
Yeah.
I want to say this. Come on.
Learn to trust the Holy Spirit and not your practice.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And a lot of times we so caught up in our practice, what we practice, what we rehearse.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do it like that in rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't play it that way. Listen, you got to learn to trust the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that verse on Psalms 81 and 10 when it said, open your mouth and hear.
Yeah.
Because you got to know that shifting is always take place. Transitioning
all the time.
Always take place
all
in
the
atmosphere. Because
all the time.
Honestly, you're preparing for the norm. You're preparing for those who are going through, those in the storm and all that. But you don't know that person.
Ooh, thank you, Holy
Spirit. That person who's coming through. With something that you never thought that you could ever see in the service. And because of your anointing, you know, sometimes the Lord will count on your anointing that you're able to help deliver an individual. So don't count on your practice.
Mm-hmm.
Depend on the Spirit of God. Because 9 times out of 10, what you practice, you don't do on stage.
You cannot ignore the shift. Can I help somebody real quick? California is known for earthquakes
uh-huh.
all the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's because California sits on the ground that California is on is on a I forget what it's called, but it constantly shifts.
Uh-huh.
And when it shifts, it breaks.
Wow.
Shifting causes a break. And
wow.
when the earth opens up, mm-hmm. stuff is then allowed to flow.
Wow. I like
but
that.
You can't ignore the shift. Every time there is an earthquake, you have to check it. You got to look and see and check and see what happened and what's going on. You can't ignore it. See, and a lot of times in churches, and you talk about why it's not being taught, you have a lot of pastors who don't understand it.
Mm.
So because they don't understand it, they do two things. They ignore it or they try to shut it down. Two things you can't – now you can ignore it.
Mm.
You can't stop a shift.
Because,
see, the shift is going to happen regardless. The question is, what do you do when it happens? What do you do? You know, when an earthquake comes, they tell you to stand in between the doorway.
Warning comes before.
Come on now. So they tell you to stand in between the doorway, so that way you're in between a solid structure,
mm-hmm.
so as stuff is falling, you're not underneath glass
uh-huh.
and anything else. Or they tell you to get, you know, when tornadoes come,
uh-huh.
they say, go to the basement.
Go to the basement.
You can't just stand there.
That's right.
In front of the microphone.
That's right.
And not know what to say.
That's right.
And not know how to move the people.
That's right.
That's for pastors and worship leaders.
That's right.
That's for music directors. You know, the song ended from what you know.
Yeah.
But see, that's why I love when you listen to good gospel music and some of our favorite gospel songs. If you have the CD, they have this section called the reprise.
Yeah.
Where the song has ended.
Yeah.
But the worship is still going.
It's still going.
So the musician has to say, well, look, I got to bring this thing back in.
Yeah.
I got to know when to come on back. I can't just stop because this is where the notes stop on the paper.
Yeah.
I have to keep going. It's just like when you preach. You have your sermon. Mm-hmm. It's on paper. But sometimes, not all the time, because sometimes we need to know when to sit down and shut up. Sometimes the Spirit of God will give you more than where the period
exactly.
was on in your notes.
Exactly.
My God.
Wow.
My God. Let's keep going.
Number seven. Developing patience.
Yeah.
How do you handle it when people don't respond as you hope? Wow.
Woo!
How do you handle being nervous? Great worship leaders know when to be intense and when to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having a patient disposition where you are trusting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Speak clearly. Know how to navigate silence and stay in control.
Yeah, that's good.
We just talked about trusting the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, and this I want to say this, I believe this would make us move to the place that we're entertaining when we're looking for the response of the people. When we caught up on seeing how they're responding to us would dictate how much we'll give out.
Mm-hmm.
If they're responding to us not enough, then we're not going to give out enough.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're responding to us like, go ahead,
mm-hmm.
what it does, it put cables on your back.
It encourages
and
you.
And it encourages you.
Yeah.
But then in the same token, sometimes it can make you lose yourself as well.
Woo! Yes, sir.
It can push you to a place that you're not ready and you're not even capable of going.
Yeah.
And so now because they're liking you and they're loving you, you want to go to a place that you're not even been called to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, even when they're not responding the way you want,
mm-hmm.
then you get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Then it knocks you off. They don't want to praise God. No, you still have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't predicate people based on their gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Some people praise God in their own way, and we don't know what's with their praise or even their worship. But make sure you set the table. Make
mm-hmm.
sure that you have the meal ready for them to eat when it's time to eat.
Absolutely.
Do not dictate your worship experience based off somebody else. Here, it says how to navigate silence, but then it says stay in control.
Yeah.
You got to know how to stay in control of that atmosphere.
Right.
You can't lose it.
No, don't scream
there
because they didn't shout when you thought they were
there
supposed to shout. And
go.
Watch this. If they didn't shout when you thought they should shout,
there you go.
Before you check them, check yourself.
Yeah.
Make sure your spirit was right in the first place.
Mm.
Because see, if you stood up there for the purposes of shouting them, you stood up there for the wrong reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you stood up there, if you make your purpose for standing in front of the people of God is about pleasing Him.
Yeah.
And not about pleasing them.
Yeah.
Then you've moved into a different level of worship.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. I love that. Developing patience. That's good. Number eight. Number eight says, leading with energy. Energy doesn't have to mean bouncing around the stage like a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Energy is leading from your heart. It's believing every lyric.
Yeah.
It's being so caught up in the majesty of God. Watch this, that you exude Jesus.
Yeah.
It's living a life that amplifies the song. Live Sunday morning before Sunday morning comes.
Wow.
Come on now. Live Sunday morning. My God. My God, my God, my God. Live Sunday morning before Sunday morning comes.
I think we all get confused between what is energy and what's the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And just because a person is loud,
mm-hmm.
just because they do flips
mm-hmm.
or do the funky chicken on stage, don't mean that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's just like a person preaching.
Mm-hmm.
He gave so much meat, but people didn't start saying he preached. Now you're preaching
uh-huh.
until he started closing.
Yep.
You got to stop getting used to the rev up.
Yeah.
You know, there's a message
yeah.
in the calmness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there is. Come on.
There
now.
Is a message.
Come on now.
In the calmness.
Come
when there's
now.
Calm, when the Spirit is calm, he's sending a message. And don't confuse your energy with the anointing of God.
Yeah.
Just because you're energized, that simply suggests you're in good shape, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have some coffee, or you have some candy to get you wired up,
uh-huh.
or energy drink.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're more anointed than somebody else. To be honest with you, what they call it in the world, you ain't nothing but a hype man.
Wow. Wow. That's good.
I'm serious.
That's, good. That's real good.
See, this is my niche, y'all. I've taught this worship, the art of worship leading so many times that I've seen it all. I know how people can sing a fast song but can't sing a slow song.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen this. I know what people prepare for. There are people that literally prepare to see how many people they're going to shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Let's go. Let's go. Number nine. It's on you and me. You got it.
All right, practice talking.
Yeah.
I think we all can agree that leading worship isn't just singing through songs, hoping people join in. In many ways, you are a coach, challenging and teaching your team how to go deeper. In order to do that well, you need to practice public speaking, learning how to connect with the room. Practice this before Sunday hits.
Yeah, that's good. Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to learn because some people can sing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not public speakers.
But it don't mean that you give a sermon either.
That's true. But the writer is saying practice talk so you're not mumbling over your words and you're not stumbling over your words. And yes, there comes a time when you're the worship leader that you are going to have to address the crowd.
And make sure your words is connecting with your song.
That's it.
It can help you bring
it. That's it.
And man, people don't know how powerful that is.
Yeah.
Because the words that you're saying, some people may not catch the song through the music, but through your words, oh man, you're getting them prepared.
Yeah.
You're
absolutely.
Getting them literally prepared.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it helps out.
Absolutely. You have to, and I love this. Thomas Pastor Ladybug, that's an interesting name. God bless you. Says the difference is people don't know is the Holy Ghost and the anointing. Okay, okay, I get you. It goes back to what you read in the early one. If you are living the lyrics and you believe in what you're saying, then the words will flow naturally.
It will flow.
The words
will
flow naturally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. This is good.
Yeah.
I think it's something, and it was something else that I missed that you read in number eight, where it says practice live Sunday morning before Sunday.
Before Sunday.
Live Sunday before Sunday.
Yeah.
So don't come up and all of a sudden don't be that Sunday Christian.
Yeah.
You only live right on Sunday morning. You wake up on Sunday praising the Lord, and then Sunday night you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true.
That's good. This is good stuff, man.
It is.
This was good, man. Look, we right on the precipice of being on time. God bless the Lord.
Wow, look at here.
Look, this
This
has been amazing. What you got going on this weekend, man?
Man, this weekend, my chipmunk got a birthday party.
Charisma.
Tomorrow and then today after I leave here, going down to 1390. But
yeah, so you're doing it. Tell the people, man.
Hey, listen, next week, your boy At 12 o'clock. I don't know how they do it.
Well, you record it, and then they play the spots every day.
So I'm the special guest for next week on 1390
mm-hmm.
to do the word of the day. Yep. So I have to do every day, a word for every day.
That's awesome.
So it's
That's
an awesome experience.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah, good stuff. I did mine back in the summer, I believe it
was. Awesome.
And actually, it's our spring, but it was a great time, man.
Awesome.
I love the environment. It's you know, it's like,
awesome.
Man, it's good stuff. So, man, I'm excited for you for that.
Awesome.
That's good.
Awesome.
So what's going on?
No, we just our regular regiment. We mm-hmm. preparing for our 60th year anniversary. So Sunday is going to be a powerful
60 years. Wow.
Sunday is going to be a powerful service, and,
mm-hmm.
and we trust in the Lord give us the same atmosphere, even greater than what He gave us last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Man, look, y'all, this has been an awesome show. What I got going on? I just got my same routine, bowling.
Yeah, what you got?
Bowling. Same routine, yeah.
Listen, my boy, hey, they won 3 in a row.
We swept last week.
We need
to keep it rolling.
So we putting them prayer guards out.
Man, look.
Let's do it, man.
I don't know how I'm going to throw now with this new diet plan.
Yeah,
it might be
right.
A little,
you might need to downsize your
might
ball, man.
15,
yeah.
Yeah,
ball feeling a little light.
What they say, feet got light?
Feet got
man,
light.
Something.
I just want my belly to get light.
You know what? Oh, Lord, here we go. Anyway, y'all, look, it's been wonderful. Pastor Parks, pray us out.
Father in heaven, we thank you, God, and I thank you that you allow your light to shine upon us today, God. God, we're not even worthy, God, but you choose who you want to choose
yes,
through your
God.
Word, God,
yes,
in
God.
Your gospel. And so, God, we thank you that we are recipients of that, God, and representatives that we can speak to our nation, God, across this world, teaching them, God, that there's no time to give up. The ground is no place for a champion. And so, God, it's time that we take a bold declaration and proclamation in standing for you, God, and you alone, God. I love you, God, and we honor you, God. Give my brother favor on tomorrow, God, once again, God. And then allow our Sunday morning services to be one of the greatest that we ever had in our ministry history, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been an awesome show. Y'all stay blessed. And I do want to give, two things. I completely forgot about this. Early on, the prayers are working for the young brother that was shot in that accident
on
Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
He had his surgery. He came
was
out.
Was that the same one?
That was the same one.
Wow.
Same one we saw on the thing. But the car had nothing to do with it. That red car had nothing to do with
really?
It. Yeah, that was something completely separate.
Oh, wow.
But, man, he's in recovery right now, has successful surgery.
Glory.
He woke up, recognized everybody, just, you know, can't speak because they had the tube in, but he's doing amazingly well. So God is a healer for that young man, Kevin King. We're praying for the King family.
Yeah.
I want to keep them in our prayers. Go ahead.
We praying for the Bird family. My godmother, sister, Jeanette Bird, she passed away. And then also my neighbors, which is a great supporter,
mm-hmm.
First Bethel pastor, both of them passed away yesterday and same day. And then also my mother's mother-in-law had a stroke. And so we're praying for her as well.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of stuff taking place. But let's pray for our people. And then also let's pray for President Barack Obama and his family.
Yeah, we want to keep them in our prayers. Our producer of the show, she has another home going service 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Grandmother and grandfather, they passed right behind each other. So she has another funeral this week, and we want to keep her in our prayers. The Rice family, we want to keep them in our prayers. Deacon W.C. Rice lost his brother a couple days ago as well. So we want to keep them in our prayers, man, and just do that. So, look, y'all, it's been a wonderful show, man. It's been a great week. Big shout out to those out at Second Baptist on your installations that they're doing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
They have a guest pastor coming in. I forgot that brother's name just that quick. But they have a guest pastor coming. He's from Baltimore, Maryland. So, but, man, it's going to be a good time. But, look, y'all, we got to go. God has been awesome. Don't worry about it. I'm looking up to you. We got to go, y'all. God has been awesome. Y'all stay blessed, man. If you're in the city of Chicago, keep your head on a swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO, we out.
Peace.
Now it's time to give a praise. Give your praise of your praise. look up to him. Watch the white.